Wow, a very COVID Christmas to you all. In a normal year, people struggle to find peace through the Christmas season. This year, all the entire year, let alone this Christmas season, has left so many people with feelings of hopelessness, of fear, anxiety, insecurity, and worry. 2020 has been a hard year for everyone, no one excluded. It seemingly has taken so much from us. In years past, we find, years have given, but 2020 seems to have taken so much. Jobs, health, security, family gatherings, trust, our church gatherings. Peace seems to be one of these things that's been taken away from us. But this shouldn't be. Peace shouldn't come and go based on our circumstances, based on how good of a year or bad of a year that it has been. So today I want to answer the question, where's my peace? Where's my peace? Isaiah, I talked about this briefly last week. Isaiah famously prophesied that the coming Messiah, Jesus, would be called the Prince of Peace. Last week I called him the Keeper of Wholeness. See, because the Hebrew word found in Isaiah 9 for peace is shalom, which means wholeness, completeness. And in Luke chapter 2, we read of the birth of Jesus. And when the angels announced his birth, they also spoke of the word peace. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we'll start reading at verse number 7. And I know it's kind of an odd place to start, but we're kind of jumping in the middle of the story. Verse 7, it says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy.'" Good news and great joy, which will be for all the people. "For today in the city of David, there is born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with an angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Okay, peace. That Greek word that the angels use here for peace is eirene, which carries a different meaning, a different connotation, context than shalom. Eirene means several things. It means a state of national tranquility. So you have the exemption from rage and havoc of war. It also means peace between individuals. So there is relational harmony. It means security, safety, and prosperity. Eirene also speaks of the Messiah's peace, which is the way that leads to salvation. So peace with God. And it also speaks of contentment. See, since the angels came and were declaring and speaking of the arrival of the Messiah, Jesus, we know here that the context of that word eirene is speaking of the Messiah's peace. Where's my peace? It's found in Jesus. That's classic. If you don't know the answer to a question in church, classically, you can just say Jesus. So where's my peace? It's Jesus. See, you can't have peace absent from Jesus. Five times in the New Testament, God is called the God of peace. Jesus himself said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." And Paul said, Jesus himself is our peace. So then the question now becomes, if our peace is found in Jesus, how do I get this peace from him? I hope you're still holding your Bibles. Turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 4. Start in verse 23. It says, "Now not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, But for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him who has raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. All right, let's dive in and break this down a little bit. So Paul is writing about our salvation, and he starts by referencing Abraham in verse 23 and how his faith in God was credited to him as righteousness, meaning that Abraham had right standing with God because of his faith and his belief and his trust in him. Paul goes on to say that this record of Abraham having faith in God and it being credited to him as righteousness wasn't just written in the Old Testament as a record for his life, but it was an example for us. You see, we receive righteousness the same way that Abraham did, through our faith in Jesus. Jesus was crucified because of our wrongdoings or our sin and was raised from the dead for our justification. So this means that through our faith in Jesus and his death and his resurrection, we have been cleared of all wrongdoing. And it is just as if I had never sinned, which is a really simple definition for that word justification. Just as if I'd never sinned. See, we are in this place of perfection, in right standing with God, as if we had never made any mistakes, as if we had never sinned or done any wrongdoings or broken the law. Now, that we have been justified and we are in right standing and right relationship with God through Jesus, we have peace. Paul says we have peace, irene, with God. See, this is what the angels were announcing when they declared to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. See, this is spoken to those that receive the salvation of Jesus. Those who receive the salvation of Jesus are brought into an intimate relationship with God, and they have no fear of judgment. They have no fear of punishment because we are now made sinless and perfect in Jesus. This is peace. And that's why you can't have peace without Jesus, because peace comes as a result of salvation. Listen, Jesus didn't just come to live among us. He came to do something. He came to redeem and restore what was broken. He came to heal the hurting, find the lost, free the bound, and save sinners. He came to bring peace on the earth, but not just any peace. The peace that comes from knowing God and being known by him. This is the peace of redemption. This is the peace of salvation. It's the beginning, the starting place of peace. But it's not the end. But it could be the end, because really this is all that we need. We need to be at peace with God in knowing him and being known by him. And if that's all the peace that we receive from Jesus, then that would be enough. I feel like, you know, those late night shopping, you know, shows where they're showing you this incredible set of Ginsu knives that slices and dices at Julian's Fries. But wait, there's more. It even cuts open a can of soda. And after cutting open a can of soda, it still slices that tomato oh so nicely. See, this peace. Peace, but wait, there's more. It's not just about salvation, because there's a contentment that comes with this irene peace that isn't determined by your life circumstances. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Paul writes and he says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, in every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests made known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, that peace is yours. See, Paul writes here using that same word, irene, that the angels used. Peace or contentment is available to us, but it's conditional. See, in order to have this peace, we're going to have to give up our worrying. We're going to have to give up our cares. We're going to have to give up our troubles. See, because you can't hold on to your worry and hold on to peace at the same time. You can't carry your cares and carry your peace at the same time. So this presents a real problem for many of us, because giving up worrying and giving up carry, like the cares and the troubles, means that we are giving up control, or at least the resemblance or the illusion of control. So instead of carrying the troubles and the worries, Paul says, drop them off at the feet of Jesus. All of them, every care, every concern, all your troubles, always. Now, granted, there are lots of things that we talk about that are easier said than done. And this falls into that category. But isn't the trade-off worth the effort? Just because it's hard, does that mean that we shouldn't do it or we shouldn't pursue it? No. See, because worrying takes everything from you and it gives nothing to you. It leaves you exhausted. It impacts your relationships and it can impact your health. When you worry, your muscles tighten. All of your shoulder, your neck muscles, they all tighten and they cause headaches and migraines. Worry can lead to high blood pressure, heart attacks, and strokes. So you can have all of that, or on the other side, you can have peace when you drop off the worry, the cares, and the troubles at the feet of Jesus. It seems like a no-brainer, but so many of us decide that we would rather hold on to our worry, and we would rather hold on to all of our troubles and our cares and our concerns than drop them off at the feet of Jesus and have peace. Paul mentions three specific things when we come and we place our worries and our troubles before Jesus. First thing he mentions is pray. Now, praying at its core is just simply a conversation with God. And when you have a conversation with somebody, you turn your attention towards them. It's really quite rude to talk to somebody like this. See, if I was to preach this way, you would think that I wasn't paying any attention to you and you would have no idea who I was talking to. But when I speak and I look directly at you, then my attention and my focus is turned towards you. So we pray. We turn our attention and our focus towards God. You take your eyes off of your worries, you take your eyes off of your troubles, and you begin to look to Jesus. Don't talk to your problems about Jesus. Talk to Jesus about your problems. And yes, there are far too many followers of Jesus that are guilty of talking to their problems about Jesus instead of talking to Jesus about their problems, because they just complain over and over. See, in the Greek, this word prayer also means to worship. So when we come to God in prayer, we come with a sense of reverence and awe and just total captivation by how incredible God is, how amazing and all-powerful God is. Prayer. Second thing Paul mentions is petition. This is specifically asking and seeking God for what it is that you need. Not in generalities, but being specific. God, I need this. Do you remember when there's a story that Jesus talks to a blind man who's calling out to him. He says, "What do you want from me?" You know, like the blind man had to specifically say, "I want to see." He could have said, "You know, like I kind of want to feel better. I feel like a little down. You know, I can't really provide for myself." And you know, but he said specifically, "I want to see." So when we come to Jesus to drop all of our cares and all of our worries, let's be specific, name them. Jesus teaches in Matthew 7:7 that we should ask and keep on asking, that we should knock and keep on knocking, that we should seek and keep on seeking, and that we will receive from God when we do that, when we are persistent. Resist the temptation to ask once and to give up and to walk away. Plant your faith in God. Plant your faith in what you need him to do for you and leave it there until you receive it. But what if it takes a week? Then you leave your faith planted there a week. But what if it takes a month or a year or a half a year or a decade? Does it really matter how long it takes as long as you receive what it is that you're believing for? I haven't heard one person who was praying for a miracle that took 10 years or longer, and then when they received the miracle, they complained and said, "God, what took you so long?" See, when you receive your miracle, you are so overjoyed with what God has done for you. You plant your faith in him, and you plant your faith in what he can do for you, and you do not dig it up. The third thing that Paul mentions is thanksgiving. This is having a heart of gratitude and using language of gratitude when we pray. See, we approach God with gratitude, and this is worship. We are thankful for who he is. We are thankful for what he has already done for us. And we are thankful for what he is doing and what he will do in the future. You notice in these three things that Paul mentions how petition is sandwiched in between worship. Worship keeps our issues in proper proportion to Jesus. It keeps our eyes on him even when we don't know what to do. See, what you focus on gets bigger in your perception. So focus on Jesus, not your troubles. See, when all you're looking at is your troubles, then your troubles in your eyes become bigger than what they really are. See, there's no trouble, there's no problem, there's no issue that's bigger than Jesus. So you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, and it's reminding yourself of the greatness of God, the potential of God, the power of God. Now, if you've prayed in the past and you've not received peace, then I suggest to you this morning that you come again to God and that you bring your troubles and your worries before him again and bring them this time the way that Paul teaches us with prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. You might need to pray until you have peace. But the promise remains. Peace is yours. Contentment is yours. I just love the way that the Amplified reads this. It says, and the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. That peace. See, peace reassures. Peace brings rest. Peace protects. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among people, among men, among women, among children with whom he is pleased. The angels declared peace through Jesus. First, the peace of salvation through Jesus' death and his resurrection. For everyone who puts their faith in him and surrenders their life to his lordship. I just want to add that you don't add Jesus to your life. It's not like, okay, this is my life and I'm adding Jesus. It's not like adding a new accessory. I got a new phone. Sweet. Like I'm adding that to my life. No. There is a total surrender of your life to the lordship of Jesus. He is your friend. He is your brother. But never forget he's your king. Second, the peace of contentment that comes through bringing our troubles to Jesus and knowing he hears us and knowing he answers us. 23 years ago, this past October, I didn't know Jesus. So this past October, it was my 23rd Jesus birthday. I look back and I remember my life before I met Jesus. And my life was in ruin. I lived life in total chaos, in complete unrest. I had literally everything that I needed materially. I had friends, I had family, I had a good job, I had a place to live, I had multiple cars, I was a single guy. I don't know why I had multiple cars. See, I wasn't that smart. You can only drive one at a time. It made no sense. So to go along with all of that, I had a ton of debt. Why? Because I had two cars. I would lay down at night and I would just feel this crushing weight of chaos and unrest that would settle upon my chest. When I would sleep at night, God would visit me in my dreams. And I had three reoccurring God dreams that I would have over and over and over. I generally call them, they were my God nightmares, because I would wake up in total panic. But I know that God was speaking to me. And the moment that I gave my life to Christ, I was sitting in a stadium. It was a Promise Keepers event, and I was there with my dad, and I was there with my dad's pastor, and we were sitting there, and the, this guy gives a salvation message on the stage. I remember nothing about the message, but I remember sitting there in just torment, such unrest. I was not happy. I was not content. And I didn't know what to do. And I remember almost curling up in a ball in my seat. And I was sitting in the middle seat, and the pastor was on the end, and beside him was the aisle. And all he did, he was sitting there, he just kind of tilted his knees sideways so that there was a clear access point. And I'm telling you what, as soon as he moved, everything inside of me just jumped up. I couldn't stand it anymore. And I ran down to the front. And the moment that I stood up and I began to move, this peace just came over me. And all that I was carrying and all the stress and the chaos and the unrest just seemed to melt away as I just stood there on the stadium floor crying and just allowing Jesus to love on me and to welcome me home. I had this overwhelming sense of peace in my life that I had never had before. See, that's the peace that comes with salvation. Was my life perfect? No. Did anything change physically in my life? No. My situation was exactly the same, but the peace I felt is indescribable. You can't really accurately describe what it feels to have that peace come on you. One moment chaos, another moment peace. I can tell you story after story of peace, the peace that comes with contentment, of dropping your worries and your cares and your concerns off at the feet of Jesus and receiving that peace of contentment. I've battled spinal meningitis. I've battled cancer, and I've had peace through both of those things. Many, many of you know the journey that we've walked on with our daughter Faith and her complex heart defect. And through it all, I've always had peace. Even if I didn't know what the outcome was going to be, even if I didn't know what was happening or couldn't understand the words that the doctors were saying, I still had peace. Because the peace that God gives isn't determined or based upon my situation or my circumstances. When I had more month than I had money, I still had peace. And God has never, ever forsaken me, never, ever left me without. I'm still here. I have a house. I've got cars. I've got family. He provides for me even when there's more month than money. That's peace that knows that he's there, that he's providing for me. The one story, and I'll leave you with this, that came to mind about the peace of contentment was when we were moving here. And I told the story to a friend this week who called and had asked some advice on immigration. And when we were moving to come here, we had received a letter from immigration saying that I had the approval for the visa that I needed. But my wife and kids were not named on that letter. And so I actually called and I got to speak with someone in an immigration office, and they said, do not go. You have to wait for a decision on your wife and children. Do not cross the border. He was very firm with me. So I, you know, what did I do? I called the border. I called the port of entry, and I spoke with an officer, one of the officers that perchance that I would see if I went to the border. And I said, hey, this is what I have. I explained my situation. I explained my visa, that my wife and my children, their visa is based on mine. If I have mine, then, and he's like, yeah, I got that. You have everything that you need. You got your letter, you got your approval notice and all that. I said, yep, I got that. He goes, yeah, you're set to go. Just come on down. We'll give everybody their visas. On one hand, I was told not to go. Firmly told not to go. On the other hand, someone invited me, said, yeah, come on down. We'll give you everything that you needed. So it was about a 2-hour drive from where we lived to where the border, the Canadian-American border was. We loaded up all of our stuff. We got in the car and we drove 2 hours in complete silence, praying the entire way, not worrying, not stressing, not in anxiety or anxiousness, but praying the whole way, dropping our cares off at the feet of Jesus, knowing that if we get turned away, we could potentially be in big trouble and we could have potentially missed our opportunity to come. They could have canceled our visa. We got to the border. I explained to the officer what it is that we were doing and, you know, our situation. He said, yeah, just park over there and go inside the building. We went inside the building. I stepped up to the counter. I gave them all of our papers. And, you know, we sat, you know, because they obviously make you wait and sweat it out. And so we sat in the room and we sat there for about 30 minutes. They called us forward, stamped all of our passports, gave us all of our stuff, and we crossed the border in complete and total peace. See, if you need peace in your life, it only comes with and through Jesus. That's it. Any peace apart from Jesus is simply an illusion. Because it is impossible to have peace apart from Jesus. We see this in Scripture. I've lived it personally. The unrest and the turmoil I experienced before I met and knew Jesus. It was soul crushing. And I wouldn't want to live that way. And I wouldn't want anyone else to live that way. So as I close today, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're watching and you don't know Jesus, you don't have peace, you've never surrendered your life to him, then today's your day. I've been where you are. I know what you feel. You might be sitting there at your house or watching off your phone and your heart's beginning to beat really fast. That's Holy Spirit speaking to you. And literally all you have to do is say yes to him. Say yes, Jesus. I give my life to you. I believe in you. I believe in who you are, and I believe in what you did. You came, you lived a perfect, sinless life, and you gave your life in exchange for mine. And 3 days later, you were raised from the dead. You just have to believe. And if that's where you are and you're ready to take that step, this is what I want you to do. I want you to text the word Jesus to 619-464-3077. Not that there's anything magical or mystical about the text or about saying, a specific prayer. I'm going to pray for you. I don't have to lead you in a prayer. It's just saying yes on the inside and believing. And that's it. It's done. So let me pray. Father, I pray for those that are standing on the doorstep of salvation, that you're speaking to and that you are asking them, son, daughter, come home. Come home to me. Surrender your life to me, and you will experience the greatest peace that you've ever experienced, that you ever could possibly experience. I pray for them. God, I pray that a yes would rise up from within them. And they would say yes to you, and that you would welcome them home. Father, for those who are living, without contentment, they already know you. They're your sons and your daughters, but they're carrying anxiety and worry. God, I pray that today that they would begin to seek you in prayer, and petition, and thanksgiving. And that peace that surpasses all understanding would flood their hearts and their minds in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, family. We'll see you next week.